great song. And that song means a lot more when you think about the author who lost his wife and daughter and who were in a cruise ship, drowned there in the ocean. And as he was traveling across the same ocean, the same waters, so he says, about the same point, he wrote that song, "It Is Well With My Soul." And I'm glad we serve a Lord who can comfort us during times of difficulties and stress and troubles. Amen? Amen. Turn, if you would, in your Bibles this morning to Romans chapter 8. I told the church Wednesday night I was going to preach the chapter of Romans 8. I'm not going to do that this morning, but I'm going to preach out of Romans 8. And Lord willing, next Sunday we'll preach the whole chapter. Romans chapter 8 is considered by many the greatest chapter in the Bible. But this morning I was impressed upon by the Lord to go a little different route. And my wife asked me last night, "So you're going to preach to the fathers in the morning?" I said, "Well, I'm not sure. Of course, I'm always preaching to the fathers because they're here. But am I going to preach on the subject of Father's Day?" And really just during the night last night, just really decided to go this direction. And sometimes it's the way it goes for a preacher. Sometimes it takes 10 hours to put a set message together. And sometimes it takes 30 minutes. And we'll see whether this is a flop or a failure. We'll see what happens here this morning. Amen. All right. Romans chapter 8. Look with me in verse 14. "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." We know from John, he says that when we believe on him, that we become the sons of God. Right? Amen. All right. "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together." And I love that phrase there. It says, "whereby we cry, Abba, Father." Abba simply means daddy. It's just an affectionate way in which to say Father. Abba, Father. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You this morning for Your love. We thank You again that You have laid down for us and a great example of how to be a dad, how to be a father. We pray this morning as we look that You will just remind us of a few things. And Lord, help us again to just guide our every words. In Jesus' name, amen. I've told this story before, but when I was a little kid, probably around 5 or 6 years old, I remember walking around in the backyard with my dad, and there was a snake right there in the gate as you went into the backyard. I don't remember what kind of snake it was or what it was, but apparently it wasn't poisonous. Apparently my dad knew that. He just reached down and grabbed it, even though it kind of struck at him. He just reached down, grabbed it, swung it around, and threw it out in the yard. I'm sure it was a bull snake. But as a little kid, it just, man, what an impression it had on me. Boy, my dad just picked up a snake and threw it. Of course, he turned to me and said, "Don't you ever do that." He is a bull snake. He didn't want to hurt. I do the same thing. I try not to kill bull snakes. They're good. They eat stuff and stuff that we don't want in our home. Anyway, okay, on with the message. It just impressed me so much. There was another time in which me and a friend, we were swimming in a pond, and his dad and his uncle were out swimming with us. And I'll never forget it. We were out swimming, just having a great time. And about that time, all I saw was, again, the dad with a snake in his hand, swinging in a circle, throwing it. And apparently, we were told afterwards that the snake had swam towards his son, and he literally just reached down and grabbed it and threw it. And whether it was a water mosque or not, I don't know. But I just know that what an impression it makes upon a son, or for me, it was a friend, to see a father take, you know, what seemingly is his life in his hands to save his son. Amen? Amen. And it's just, I know maybe that's old-fashioned, but man, just a dad who takes up for his son, takes up for his daughter, and does so in such a wonderful way. The Bible does describe for us the biblical role of the father. And even though today it's not politically correct, I'm going to give it to you this morning. It's a little old-fashioned. A little old-fashioned. People say I'm old-fashioned. That's fine. When I was even 25 years old, people said I was 50, that I acted like a 50-year-old. I old-fashioned because the Bible's old-fashioned. And it's not politically correct. I've said to many couples who come into my office, they'll say, "Well, you know, we're just not getting along and such and such. And I can see in that home where there is a clash of leadership. And I look at that husband and I say, "You know what? The Bible says you're the leader of this home. You need to lead the home." I look at the wife and I say, "The wife, you're supposed to be in subjection to your husband. You're supposed to follow his leadership." Let me tell you, husbands, let me tell you how this works. If you will treat your wife like a queen, she'll treat you like a king. Love your wife even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Amen? I also generally look at the wife and I look at the husband. I say to the husband, I say, I promise you this. If you will be the spiritual leader of your home, she'll follow you everywhere else. If you'll, husbands, listen, if you'll be the spiritual leader of your home, all the other leadership will take care of itself. Let me say it again. If you will be the spiritual leader of your home, if you're the one that makes sure your family's in church, if you're the one that's trying to have a organized and consistent Bible study with your children, if you'll be the spiritual leader of home, you'll pray with your kids, if you'll pray with your wife and be the spiritual leader that God intended for you to be biblically, your wife will follow you. By the way, in every home, somebody's leading. Somebody is. Amen? Who's doing the leading? The Bible sets it up very much as king, queen, and subjects. Well, the husband is the king, the wife is the queen, they rule together, and the kids are the subjects. And let me remind parents again, your kids are subjects. I was reminded again, I know I mess around with Kai and some of these guys that just turned 18, and I like messing with them. But there is some truth in it, and that is he who pays the bills makes the rules. If you want to call your... And Kai's out here, I'm making him feel bad. Oh good, he's not here, I can talk about him all day long. Some of these college guys who go off to college and think, well, I turned 18, I'm an adult. I always say, well, are you paying the bills? Is daddy paying the bills? Then I that adult is a little bit, you need to put quotations out beside it. We realize and we understand that he who pays the bills makes the rules. That your kids are subjects as such, by way of illustration. And they ought to obey you. Amen? I tell you again, marriage was meant to be enjoyed. If you're not enjoying your marriage, it's because you've got something flip-flopped. You're not following the biblical pattern. And kids were meant to be enjoyed, even when they're teenagers. They're meant to be enjoyed. And if you're not enjoying your teenage kids, then you've got something flip-flopped. You can enjoy them. Again, some of the greatest times with my dad growing up was when I was a teenager. And my brother would testify the same thing, and my sister who's in heaven would say the same thing. Some of the greatest times we ever had with my parents was when we were teenagers. And God intended for it to be that way. The biblical role is God the Father. Biblical role of authority in the home is God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, Father, Mother, Children. You say, well, I have a problem with that. Well, you have a problem with the book, not with me. And listen, husbands who are dictators are the problems. You say, well, why would the Bible put it that way? The Bible didn't put it that way because a man is smarter than a woman or so forth. We know many women who are much smarter than men. Ladies, come on. It has nothing to do with value. It has nothing to do with worth. It has everything to do with order. And God said, this is the order in which we'll place it. I love that little saying. I have a book in my library called Equal Yet Different. By the way, if you go look at that verse where it says, wives being subjected to your husbands, if you look up just about three or four verses in Ephesians, it says that we'll be subjection to each other. So be careful, men, when you pull that verse out. Women, I'd encourage you to go memorize that other one, right? It's kind of like when you're a kid, parent says, the Bible says that you're to obey me, and they said, well, the Bible says you're not supposed to, provoke the children to wrath. You got to be careful what you memorize, guys, all right? Careful what you memorize. I would never have done that. In fact, I didn't, but my wife did. The biblical role of a father. I've used this outline in other sermons, but I've never used it just preached on it. And I just want to give you real simple three things this morning, and that is the role of a father in the home. And number one, he is the provider. He's the provider. The biblical basis, the biblical authority, the biblical example is that the father is to be the provider. Now, provider is many different things. 1 Corinthians 11:3 says the head of every man is Christ and the head of the woman is the man. Again, that biblical authority is there. That husband is that leader of the home, and therefore every man is responsible for his home. Let me again reiterate to you, every man, every father will give an account for his family to God when he stands before him. You say, well, my wife will give a... Nope, the wife will not give an account for the family as it's led. The husband will, biblically speaking. Amen? Husband, that's a great responsibility. Someone, again, that husband will stand before God. The husband is to be the provider, to provide those physical needs in which the home needs. Solomon spoke to fathers. If you go through and you read the book of Proverbs, remember that's a father talking and giving... He's giving advice to his son about being a father. Many different places in there. And he says in many different spots, in reference to people who won't work, he says they shouldn't eat. If a person is able to work and they do not work, they should not eat. A lot of problem in our country today, people living on the government and other things who can work but won't work. Bible says, go to the ant, sluggard. I love how Solomon names them sluggards. We ought to be workers, men. Amen? I told you many stories about my papa who worked in the oil field but also had a farm, and my parents live on it now. And here just a few years ago, before he died, he called me probably about, he was probably 72 or 70, right around 70 years old, probably 72, 73. He calls me and said, I need to put up a fence. So you come up and help me put up a fence. And what was my answer? Yes, sir. When do you want me there? All right. I showed up. He wanted to run an electric fence, which is mainly just putting some T-posts in. And so, but he wanted to do a T-post about a mile long or so forth. All right. So every, whatever, 12, 15 feet, we're going to put these T-posts, or maybe a little further than that. Then I start putting T-posts in. About two of them. No. About 15 of them. I was okay, I got to have a break. And my papa reached over there and grabs that T-post driver and gets at it. I think he did about 25. And I had to say, all right, papa, give it back to me. And he just sweat running down. And my papa was 5'7". And me and my dad were talking about the other day. My papa in his early 70s, you still, if you were to wrap around, give him a bear hug from behind, he could still break out of any bear hug. He just had a lot of strength in his upper body. But just to watch him work, you know what a great example for me. And then my kids got to watch him work. And my dad's a hard worker as well. And just that example, we are to be the provider of our home. And whether it's sitting in a computer working hard or whether it's driving T-posts, we ought to be that example for our kids and be the provider of our home. We ought not only to be the provider for food, but for whole house or for clothes. All of these areas, we are responsible for the physical preservation, if you would, of our household. We say, well, my wife has to work. And these are I understand this day and age, there's some that have to work. Wives that have to work. But the husband is ultimately responsible to God for the physical well-being of that household. We are the provider. Not only the provider physically, but we're also to be the provider relationally and emotionally. In other words, as fathers, we're to provide that example to our children of how a husband and wife ought to interrelate our relationship with each other. By the way, the husband and wife are going to be the example for the kids, and they're going to create that same relation with their husband or wife. So we have to be that example. We're to be the example in relationships. Fathers, you're to teach your girls how a boy is to treat them. Hello? That's why I encourage fathers at the age of, 13, 14, and so forth, you need to start, even before that if you want, you need to start taking your daughters out on a date. Once a month or something, take them out on a date. Show them how a boy is supposed to be treating them. And you tell them, say, if the boy doesn't treat you this way, you need to drop him fast. Amen? This is the way he's supposed to be treated. Husbands, our fathers are in the, I don't know, this is tough on some of us, and the hugging and our kids and the kissing our kids need, that physical affection that they need, we need to be that example to them. Amen? Amen. And a biblical, godly example of the area in which we need to be physical with our kids. And man, there's a lot of weirdos out there, and I'm certainly not talking about anything like that. But I'm telling you, a kid needs a hug. Husbands, your daughters need hugs and kisses from you. Wives, your boys need hugs and kisses from you. You say, well, they're 15 now. So? Amen? I love it. My wife told my boys, the first time you won't walk across the street and hold my hand, I'm going to knock you out. It wasn't those exact words, but something to that effect. Actually, some of y'all know that could be. Right? There ought to be that we need to meet, and I've dealt with both husband and wife, we need to meet our children's physical needs as well as emotional needs and so forth. And we need to be that example for them. Husbands, you are ultimately responsible for making sure the physical as well as emotional and relational needs of your family is met. And I would spend some time talking about the husband meeting the needs of the wife, but we'll do that another time. But that is absolutely responsible for those. I love you, it should be in your vocabulary. It ought to be used often. Not only should it be used often, but it should be showed often. By way of time. Love is spelled T-I-M-E. And I encourage you with your kids as well as your wife to provide those things for them. Number two, not only would it be the provider, but it would be the protector. Protector. I know this is male stuff, but it is biblical as well. I'm telling you, I don't care what a woman says, she wants to be protected. I don't care what she says outwardly. I don't care if it's been written in a magazine. I don't care if it's been put in a book. I'm just telling you, a lady wants to be protected. And if you absolutely, children need it. Absolutely. Children need to be able to sleep in their bed and feel so safe that they can sleep and never have to worry about it. I deal and counsel with kids who've been beaten by their parents and all sorts of things going on in their home. What a bunch of malarkey. I'd like to take some of those dads and just get a group of guys together and just whip the holy fire out of them. Amen? Y'all thought, what? Amen. You say, well, let the authorities take care of it. You know what? They don't do enough to them. Any man who would touch a woman, hurt her or a kid, I'm in Texas. Let me tell you what I would do. But we ought to be the protector. Amen. I'll pray about it. J.C. House jacked their jaw for Jesus. Is that what he says? But we ought to be the protector. And your child, your children, as well as your wife, should feel so safe in that home. Amen? Amen. We ought to make that happen. I don't care what it takes. And you know what? These sitcoms on TV make most husbands look like buffoons. You know, a noise in the night, and the wife says, get out of the way, and she gets the bat. That ain't happening. Not in my home. You go get the kids, you go to that room, you lock the door, I'll go find out what's going on. Amen? I'm not being male chauvinist, I'm just saying that, not only is my dad giving me that example, but my Heavenly Father as well. We're to be the protector of that home. By the way, most women can protect themselves. Amen? I don't know. Okay. Just don't give them a bat, right? Or a derringer. Y'all, this is my commercial. We went and got our handgun license deal, and my wife shot just like that much below what I shot. I'm scared of her. Our children, and as well as our spouses, need to be protected. Just as my dad with that snake, and you know, when the storms come and your children are scared of thunder and lightning, they need that protection. They need to feel that protection. They need to know it's there. And not only protection from the physical harm, but also emotional, relational. We think about the world today and the immorality going on. Our children ought to be sheltered. And I get it all the time. Well, you shelter your kids too much. You cannot shelter your kids too much. It's impossible. It's impossible. Well, you should let them out there and let them, no. you know what, I'm going to shelter my kids as long as I can. And this old world that's hard and rough and so forth, I'm going to shelter them as long as I can from it. Amen? Absolutely, I'm all for kids getting a job, and my boy, my oldest boy has already started a job and getting ready to get a car. Oh my goodness, you guys pray for me. And he's going to pay for half of it. That's kind of the deal we made when they were kids. You know, I believe there ought to be responsibilities as they get older. We're trying to teach them how to be independent. Amen? Teach them how to get out on their own. At the same time, we ought to protect them as much as we can. Protect them. Protect them. I'll leave it off at there. Lastly, not only are we to be the provider of the home, the protector of the home, but also the priest. The priest. We are responsible, fathers. We are responsible for the spiritual well-being of our household. We are responsible, not the wife. The husband is responsible. Amen? You are. And one day we will give an account for that to God. How we handle the spiritual well-being of our home. I tell you what, Job, what was he doing prior to losing his family and losing everything? The Bible says he was built an altar for his family and was praying and offering sacrifice for his kids. Let me again encourage you, families, that the Bible says here that we cry, Abba, Father. When we accept Christ as our Savior, He is our Heavenly Father. He is our Abba. He is our Daddy. He's our priest, and we'll get into that in a moment. But we are the Papa. We are the Father. We are the Daddy of the home. And we need to provide that spiritual well-being as Job provided for his family. I think about Jacob. We talk about Jacob all the time of the Old Testament, how much of a trickster he was and how much of a sly man he was and so forth. Crafty, actually, he was crafty and stole his older brother's birthright and all the things that he did. But let me tell you something. He provided for his home. He worked 7 years for his first wife, 7 more years for his second wife, 4 more years for his uncle who cheated him and changed his wages every other day. But he worked hard. And it says that when he left Laban, he went back to, do y'all remember where he went back to? He went back to Bethel and there built an altar. What did he say to his family? He said to his family, lay aside your idols. Put away your idols. Put away your strange gods. And let's offer and let's worship the God Jehovah. He was the priest of his home. He provided that spiritual leadership that his home needed. Let me again remind you, you be the spiritual leader of your home and everything else falls in place. Let me say that again. You be the spiritual leader of your home and your marriage will be what it ought to be and your relationship with your kids will be what it ought to be. You understand? I'm not perfect at it, neither is anybody in this room. But I do know if we'll strive through the help of the Holy Spirit to be the spiritual leader of our home, to go to God and seek God and put Him first, that all those other things in our home will be small and minute. Be the priest, the spiritual leader of your home. I want to end the message this way, and we have a few more minutes. We talked about Jacob and the example he was. We think we could go back and look at Abraham and the example he was and what great examples they were. Job, what a great example he was. But let me tell you, the greatest example of a father is our Heavenly Father. When we accepted Christ as our Savior and we became sons of God, God is our Father, whereby you cry, Abba, Father. We became joint heirs of Jesus Christ. And I don't mean this in any way, but the Bible says this, and that is that Jesus Christ is our brother. And God is our Father. We are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Everybody with me? But let me tell you, Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And Jesus also said, I and my Father are one. And though it's hard for us in our finite minds to understand the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, let me tell you that Jesus Christ, according to the Bible, was there for us for an example. To follow in His steps. And you say, I've had it many times, people come to my office and say, preacher, you know, you talk all the time about your dad and what a great dad you had. And yes, Lord bless me, I was raised in a Christian home. I had that good godly example. And I'm so thankful for it. Absolutely thankful. By the way, though I talk about my family growing up, my family wasn't perfect and still is not. Amen. None of us are perfect. But I had that great example. But many will come to my office and say, preacher, I didn't have that example. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. Yeah, you do. You take this, you find the father, and you follow his example. You want to learn how to be a good daddy? You want to learn how to be a good father? Follow the Lord's example. Follow the Lord's example. By the way, same outline. The Lord is our provider. But my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He's my provider. He provides every need that I have. He provides all every need that I have. He is my provider physically. He's promised that if I will, in Matthew, he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. He says, consider the sparrow. Consider the sparrow. He said, I take care of the sparrow. Consider the grass in the field. He said, I take care of the flowers. If I would take care of the sparrow and I'll take care of the fields, why wouldn't you think I'd take care of you, God says. If you'll seek God first, he'll take care of the raiment and the clothes. He'll take care of the food on the table. He'll take care of you. He is our provider. He's our heavenly Father. He loves us and he cares for us. He will provide for us. Provides our homes and our clothes and our food and our cars. And he provides these things for us. So I work for those. He provides them. Those things can be gone tomorrow. Some people are finding that out. This day and age, you may walk into your job tomorrow and it may be gone. Then where do you go? God will provide. He's a provider. By the way, if he doesn't provide, he's a liar. He's no longer God. Not only does he provide our physical needs, he provides our relational and emotional needs by way of example and by way of act. Y'all have heard this one before. Here are some attributes, if you would, of our Heavenly Father, that we can follow his example. Number one, he loves us. He doesn't just love us, he loves us unconditionally. Fathers, we ought to love our spouses and our children unconditionally. I'm glad today I don't have to earn the love of God. It is freely given to me. Even as a child of God, I don't have to earn his love. He freely gives it to me. Just because I showed up for visitation Tuesday night does not make God love me any more or less. He loves me the same all the time. You know why I show up for visitation on Tuesday night? Because I love him and I want to serve him. Me showing up for church this morning does not make God love me any more or less. He loves me just as much as he's always loved me. Today, he'll love me just as much tomorrow. But I came to church this morning because I love him. I love him and I want to serve him. And not only is he loving, he's pure, he's morally sound, he's morally upright. As parents, as fathers, we ought to be morally upright and being that kind of example to our children. He's also trustworthy. I just alluded to this a while ago. He keeps his promises. God never breaks a promise. If he's promised to supply our needs, he supplies our needs. Amen. If he doesn't, he's no longer God. He's a liar. Parents, we ought to be trustworthy. Our kids ought to be able to trust our word. If you tell them you're going to do something, you ought to do it. Fathers, amen. Amen. And if you can't keep your word, they ought to know exactly why and trust you about it. Comfort. He gives us comfort, support during life's trials and difficulties. Aren't you glad of that? Amen? This morning? That the Heavenly Father is there comforting you during your times of loss, during your time of difficulties. He's there to comfort you, to give you that peace that passes all understanding. That's the same thing we do with our children, with our spouses, is we provide comfort for them. In that time of need, there ought to be hugs. There ought to be kisses. There ought to be words of comfort for our family. Not only is God a God of comfort, he's our friend. The Bible says Abraham was a friend of God. I'm glad today that my dad, my earthly dad, is my best friend. That's the way it ought to be. The Bible says that when your children get old and get out of the house, they ought to rise up and call you blessed. It says that about the wife. And I'm telling you, if you raise them right and do right, train up a child the way he should go, when he's old he won't depart from it, you'll be blessed as an adult with kids who are your best friends. I know there's sometimes a straying, Cain out there But on the whole, it's very consistent. If you'll raise them right, what a blessing it'll be. I love my dad, and what a great friendship. What a friend we have in Jesus. Amen. Not only does God provide comfort and love and all these things, He also provides discipline. And I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time here, but godly discipline produces respect, peace, and righteousness. And not only our Heavenly Father disciplines us when we need it, and so should we discipline our children when they need it. The best advice I can give you is discipline your kids, be loving, kind, and gracious about it, and above all, be consistent. Be consistent. Forgiveness. Our God is a God of forgiveness. Aren't you glad of that? He forgives us, and so should we be forgiving with our children, with our spouses. And then all these things will produce respect. You want respect from your family, Father? You want respect from your children, Dad? Be loving, kind, and gracious. Unconditionally love your family. Be pure. Be moral. Be trustworthy. Comfort when they need to be comforted. Be their friend when they need a friend. Discipline them properly. Forgive them when they do something wrong. Let me say it again. Forgive them. All these things, these attributes that our Heavenly Father has, if you will display those and follow His example, then your family will respect you. I'm glad today we have a great example of a provider who provides our physical needs, our emotional needs, our relational needs, but also He's not only a provider, He's a protector. We can spend a lot of time here, but Psalm 46 says He's a mighty fortress. The psalmist tells us He's our strong tower. The psalmist tells us that He is our refuge. Our refuge. A place to go to for protection. He is our strength. Romans 8:15 says, "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to what? Fear." God is not the author of fear. He is our protector. He is our protector. He is our shield. Our defense. Fear is a sign of immaturity spiritually. Fear is a sign of insecurity. We ought to be secure in the Lord. What do you mean, preacher? I mean this. When difficulties and trials come our way, we are to be reminded and understand and know that God is going to protect us. We ought to be confident and secure in it. Not doubting, not fearing. The devil's the author of fear. God is our protector. Our Father, our Abba, Father, Daddy, He's our protector. And when you need Him, He will put His shield up and protect you. Fathers, we ought to protect our homes. Boy, today it's just amazing. Again, I've already covered this, but man, protect your home. Physically as well as relationally, emotionally, these type of things from the old world and its system. Psalm 46 says, "The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, our defense, our protector." Lastly, the Lord is our priest, and I'm done. Turn over, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 7. Just one verse of Scripture, and I'm done. Hebrews chapter 7. He's our provider. The Lord is our provider. He says, if you will seek Him first, if you'll put God first place in your life, He'll take care of the clothes. He'll take care of the food on the table. He'll take care of those difficulties, all those things He'll take care of. He's not only our provider, the Lord is our protector. He will protect us. He does protect us in our times of need. And lastly, He is our priest. He is not only our priest, He's our great high priest. Amen. What a great example He is. We think about Job and Jacob and Abraham. We think about the priests of the Old Testament. But look at this at the priest that He's been an example for. Look at Hebrews 7, verse 23. "And they truly were many priests," talking about the Old Testament priests, "because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death." In other words, a priest served only so long and they died. Priests served, they died. Priests served, they died. Amen? But this man, talking about Jesus Christ, because He continueth forever. Why? Because He's alive. He's eternal. He never dies. "An unchangeable priesthood, wherefore He is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for us." Aren't you glad He's able to save us? This great high priest, our Lord Jesus Christ, saves us. Listen this morning. The Bible says that we are sinners. By the way, our lives prove it. We are selfish by nature. The Bible says the wages, the payment of sin is death. And that revelation tells us that death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. So death is not just physical. It's also our soul and our spirit. After this life, there'll be another life. And that life will be spent in heaven or in hell. Because of our sin, the Bible says we are on our way to hell if we're not saved. But Jesus Christ, our great high priest, saves us from the penalty of our sins. Saves us from hell. Gives us a home in heaven. Redeems us. Look here again. For such a high priest because became us, who is holy. Look at what kind of high priest he is. Harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. Who needeth not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins and then for the people. In other words, the priest would have to sacrifice for their own sins first and then offer up a sacrifice for the people. Jesus did not have to do that. He was sinless. For this he did once when he offered up what? Himself. For the law maketh men high priests with which have infirmities, but the word of the oath which was since the law maketh the Son, capital S-O-N, who is consecrated forever. Our great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, came to this earth. The God of the universe. Again, Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Jesus said, I and the Father are one. Our Heavenly Father became flesh and dwelt among us, the Bible says. Our great high priest prays for us, John tells us. Our great high priest prays for us. Our great high priest pleads for us. He's our advocate. One called alongside to be our comfort and help, to be our lawyer. But let me tell you, our great high priest paid for us. He paid the ultimate price and that He gave His life for us. I'm not going to have you raise your hands, fathers, but this morning I know every father in here would raise their hand and say, I'd give my life for my son or my daughter. Let me tell you, Jesus Christ did. Gave His life for us. Why? That we might have eternal life. That we might have everlasting life. Do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Do you know Him as your Savior? Is God your Heavenly Father? If He's not, in a moment we're going to sing a song. You can come down the front and someone, a worker here at the altar, will show you from the Bible how God can become your Heavenly Father. Christian this morning, born again believer, if God's your Father, and He is if you're a Christian, you have a great example. A great example to lead. A great example to go by. Fathers, grandfathers, let me plead with you. Follow His example. Follow in His steps. You say, well, that's not the way I was raised. That's not the way I was taught to do things. Follow the Lord. If you'll follow His plan, you'll be successful at being a father. Amen? Let's all stand.